Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
Oh, all right. Just ready for the death storm. I'd like someone to tell me if you're going to get more than a quarter. So, I guess south up 40 is the ice area. North of 40 is more of the snow area. If you're going to get more than a quarter inch of ice, what is the likelihood you're going to lose power?
I mean, it's up there, I think.
Up there.
I saw a
give me a number.
Well, I saw a breakdown. Like, you know, when it's half an inch of ice, like that's enough to basically snap trees, right?
Yeah.
So that's not good. I mean, anytime you're snapping trees, that's not good. You know, 0.25, I think there's a chance power could stay on there. But
a chance.
People hear that and they're like, well, that's not that much ice. That's a lot of ice, man.
No,
it's not good.
Ice.
Not the same as snow.
Yes. No, ice, that much accumulation is heavy as fart.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all. It's far. How we doing? What's going on?
Oh, good. Thanks. Just, you know, talking about our impending doom.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, but overall pretty good. I kind of tuned out of the Preds last night, 3-0.
Ian had no faith.
Towards the end of the second, I was like, oh man, I'm tired. 3-0. All right, I'm out. I woke up. You know, the little one woke up in the middle of the night. Yeah. So I get up. Well, check my phone. I get a text from my buddy. What a wild game. I'm like, oh. Yeah,
so I missed a hat trick.
Might as well check the score. Preds won, 5-3. Yep. How about it?
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
But
man,
I missed it. But hope everybody stay safe this weekend for real. Be careful.
Yeah, I mean,
get your stuff.
You know,
check your power, all the things. Don't go crazy, but have a plan.
Right. Like, well, you know, we've joked about the death storm coming in and all that stuff, but it's a big deal. Like, it's going to be an interesting weekend here. And look, I'm not a meteorologist. I have no idea, you know, how bad it's going to be, what's going to happen. But I think everybody's seen the weather picture enough to know at this point that it's worth paying attention to. And, you know, we will do the best we can as a station to keep you as updated as possible throughout the weekend. But, you know, probably going to be dealing with some significant winter weather, whether it's ice, freezing rain, snow, sleet, whatever it is, throughout the course of the weekend. Probably going to see some combination of all of it. So just make sure you have a plan when that stuff's going on, because could be interesting this weekend. We, like I said, as a station, we will keep you updated as much as we possibly can on that front. And, you know, I guess hopefully we'll have a show Monday morning. It'd be nice.
Yeah. Let's hope.
Let's hope. Let's see what happens on that front. We got a lot going on the show today. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll have another edition, I guess the second to last edition of Pigskin Pick'em for the year coming up later in the show today. You got conference championship weekend in the NFL. We're not going to do Pigskin Pick'em for the Pro Bowl, I don't think. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But then the Super Bowl right after that. So we'll see what happens.
It's basically, it's a dead heat. Ian and I are, we're just deciding who's buying your pizza.
I mean, technically you guys are still alive. It would take a significant collapse from me. But I think I have 12 points up on both of you.
Yeah.
You're tied, though.
Yeah. So there is still some drama left in Pigskin Pickle.
There's some drama. We will get into that. But we do begin on the Nashville Predators, down 3-0 last night in game number 1,000 for Roman Josi. And it looked like it was just going to be a big dud from the Predators last night. And then all of a sudden, Steven Stamkos gets going. And he, at the end of the night, ends up with his 16th career hat trick in the NHL. Moves to ninth place all time in the history of the league in terms of power play goals that have been scored. And the Predators get a big win, 5-3, last night. So a couple of different things, Joe. Number one, it was cool to see Roman Josi kind of have his moment last night, and I thought the crowd was really good, and the crowd responded in an appropriate way. And, you know, his kids came in and were with him in the warm-ups and, you know, read the lineup, and everybody on the team wore 59 jerseys out there. It was cool to see. So, you know, the first Predator in history to hit that mark, all with one team. So it was really cool to see that from him last night. Oh, by the way, he played 29 minutes last night. 29 minutes. Now,
make it count.
A couple of things going on there. Number one, he's playing really well right now. And, you know, I said it yesterday. He's looked, over the last few weeks, basically like vintage Roman Josi. So that's good to see. The other part of this is Justin Barron is really bad. Like, Justin Barron, you know, we've talked about the Barron-Alex Carrier trade and how that was not good from Barry Trotz. It's getting close to the point to me where it's like, I don't know how much longer you need to really give this a shot. Like, it's not going well for Justin Barron out there. So he did not play a ton last night. He didn't play a ton the game before that either. And when you're having a defenseman that's occupying a spot right now that you're not very comfortable playing, that's not a very good thing. So Adam Willsby's hurt. Justin Barron's out there, and it's not going very well. So all those things led to Roman Josi playing 29 minutes last night. Power play time factored into all that, of course, as well. But big-time stuff from Steven Stamkos. I mean, Stamkos got called for a penalty late in the first, a penalty that wasn't very good late in the second, where I just thought it was a bad call. Like, him and Brady Tkachuk kind of got tied up there, and he got called for the penalty. He went nuts in the penalty box, got out of the penalty box when the period was over, and, like, started skating towards the referees going into the referee tunnel. And that seemed to just really fire him up, and all of a sudden he was unstoppable. After that, he ends up with a hat trick, and that's a big result for a Predators team that was staring down the barrel of a third consecutive loss, which is not good this time of year when you're in the race that they're in. That's a big-time win for them last night.
Yeah, massive and amazing for Stamkos. Ryan O'Reilly, of course, a couple of those assists. Josi gets one, too. Needed it bad to, you know, like you said, to kind of just stabilize things and not turn all of a sudden, you know, start going the wrong way with, as you've said before, you know, not a ton of games before serious decisions have to be made.
Yeah, I mean, it's the weird thing with this group, and it's not even just the last two games things, although the last two have been pretty extreme. I mean, all year long, they've started poorly. Like, they have, and we talked about this, I think, yesterday, they've fallen behind 1-0 a lot. I think more than anybody this year in the league. And over the last couple of months, they've been able to battle through that and come back, obviously, and get a lot of these wins. I mean, when they lost two in a row earlier this week, that's the first time they've lost two in a row since before Thanksgiving. So, it's, you know, they've been on quite a run here of even when you lose a game, they've responded well the next time out. And last night, I mean, you're looking at the – it's halfway through the third – or the second period, and you're like, man, it's 2-0 – or, excuse me, 3-0. They ain't gotten anything going offensively, and they just look like they're kind of dead in the water right now. Are they about to just slide right out of this thing? And then, I mean, they just – they pick it up, they turn it on, and right now the power play is a big weapon for them. Like, you know, I remember talking at the early part of the year, and it's like, well, you know, all of last year they never really got the power play going with any sort of consistency. You got a power play guru in Andrew Brunette as your coach. You got all these guys on the power play that have been really productive throughout their career. Why can't they get it going? And right now, like, that's probably the best part of their team. Their power play is really good, especially that top unit. I mean, that the power play won them the game last night. And, you know, obviously Stamkos is a big part of that.
Right.
But O'Reilly, you know, they've kind of all – that top unit of O'Reilly, Evangelista, Stamkos – Forsberg and Josi are playing really well together right now.
And that's like that's how it always should be, right? I mean, like it's and I even when Stamkos has struggled, that's the one place where it's like, okay, you know, like there's a value, there's a threat there, but I mean, that's exactly what this team needs. They need that power play to be top shelf, to be elite for them to, you know, to be able to compete. It is, I mean, why are they such a slow starter? Do they have to like preserve energy, you know? I mean,
I don't think anybody in there knows.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't think, other than Buffalo, and I guess maybe to a certain degree last night, although last night I don't even think it was the same. Buffalo, on Tuesday, it looked like they were I don't know if disinterested is the right word, but it just looked like they were skating in quicksand out there. And that's why you heard Forsberg as mad as he was after the game, because you could see it. Like, he was like, yeah, we actually needed to start trying as the game went on. And then they did, and they almost came back. Last night, it was more of a, you know, the first half of the game, they couldn't get anything through Ottawa. Like, Ottawa did a nice job of shutting things down. And, I mean, the Predators barely had the puck for the first half of the game last night. And then all of a sudden, they take some penalties, you put them on the power play, and then you get your mojo going. Like, that's what the power play should be for this team in terms of the weapons that they have. I mean, I still don't know, even though Stamkos is absolutely on fire right now, you know what Forsberg is, you know what Josi is, O'Reilly's playing great. I mean, O'Reilly's playing like a number one center right now. And at his age, you gotta appreciate that. So there's a lot to like about those guys specifically in the way that they're playing. But it's still not a team 5-on-5 that you're going to look at and be like, well, yeah, you know, Colorado, move aside. Here come the Nashville Predators. Right. But when your power plays the weapon that it is for this group right now, I mean, I can win you some games. And that's exactly what happened last night. The power play won them the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, they still don't have, you know, they don't have, you know, enough the depth of scoring that you need to have. But I mean, Stamkos alone, I mean, when he's going like this, it just completely changes the team. And I mean, again, compare this to just early in the season, you know, when it's just night and day.
I mean, I need to go back and find the actual stat, but I mean, I don't even know if the actual stat is important in this. I mean, you get the general idea of it. Like, I think he had, what do you have? Like 4 goals maybe in his first 22 games or something like that. Like, it was, you know, it was looking like, I think he had 5 points. It was 4 goals and 1 assist. And it was like, man, I don't know what's going on here.
What if he just had a so-so start, you know?
Right, yeah. And it's like, since it started to click for him, I forget the exact number, but I want to say he's on like a 50-goal pace. Like, if you extrapolated it out for 82 games, he's on like a 50-something goal pace. Like, he's playing great right now. So, I mean, you know, it's a couple things. You know, I think he was a little bit unlucky to begin the year, but he's clearly changed some stuff up. He's getting to different areas. The power play is working right now. And, you know, we were talking earlier in the year about none of it made sense to me. It's like, I know he hasn't forgotten how to shoot the puck. I know he's still a good offensive player. Now they're finding ways to get in the puck. And you've gone from, I think, a lot of Predators fans, at least that I've interacted with, have gone from, well, if they could find a way to get out of that contract at the deadline, maybe you do it if you're Barry Trotz. And now it's, well, good Lord, is this what he's going to be the rest of the time here? Because if he is, you're talking about a superstar player that's a future first ballot Hall of Famer that's playing at a 45-goal pace right now. Like, it's, you ain't trading that if you're Barry Trotz.
Of course, if you trade O'Reilly, then, boy, take a big chunk of that superpower away. But
that can be a problem.
Like Matt from Fairview says, Robbie, I know you think we should be sellers, but you can't forget about being the 16th overall seed, making it to the Cup. This team's got some weird juice. Believe.
Well, I mean, look, that's the decision that Barry Trotz is going to have to make. I hear you on that. And if that's the way they end up going, then that's the way they end up going. I am not the biggest fan of, well, get to the playoffs and anything can happen as the strategy, you know? Now, again, tomorrow, assuming that they play, which, as far as I know, right now they're going to. Tomorrow's a massive game. It's a huge game. Like, Utah is coming into town. They're at 56 points. You're 3 points back, or excuse me, 4 points back of them. They're the number one wild card team. And in between them, you've got Seattle, San Jose, L.A. all right there with you together. Like, it's a massive game tomorrow for the Predators if they play.
Yeah, a massive would-be possible game. They probably will, right? That early,
I think so.
Because it seems like it's really going to start advancing as Saturday goes, right?
I think so. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, like in terms of all that. I've had a lot of people ask me, are they playing on Saturday? It's like, I have no idea.
I mean, a lot of basketball games are being moved up and stuff like that to early Saturday.
So. Welcome into the Preds and Mammoth. It's 8:30 in the morning. Here we go. I don't think they're going to change the game time, but that's just me. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Preds. We will do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on my phone and text lines. My phone. No one else's phone. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A lot of misspeaking going on for me earlier this morning, both on and off the air.
Well, you do have a personal text line.
I do. I'm not giving that phone number out.
You just have Stilly constantly. Well, that
already happens.
Yeah. Leave us alone, Stilly.
That already happens. 615-737-1025. Preds win 5-3 last night after being down 3-0 to the Ottawa Senators. You know, multiple people bringing up the point. We talked about Matt from Fairview, Vern's turn on YouTube, bringing up the same point of, don't forget, they made it to the Cup Final as the 16th overall seed. The team's got some juice around here.
Yeah.
That did happen.
It did happen. It's not wrong.
Well, look, in all seriousness, I do think this has to be an interesting decision from Barry Trotz here, right? Because on the one hand, earlier in the year, you went to the Tennessean and was like, I need more from my players, and used some colorful language in there. And basically ever since then, and I don't know how directly tied the two incidents are, but since then they've been one of the best teams in the league. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they're right up there with Colorado and all these other teams in terms of the amount of games that they've won since that time, okay? So there's that where they've played really well and they've responded and they've crawled back into the race here. On the other side of things, Joe, they've crawled back into the race and they're right there with like five or six other teams that are all jumbled together. Well, not all of those teams going to make it, right? Like you're in a race. There's two wild card spots. And we've talked about this. The Predators are playing for two wild card spots. There are three spots in the division, barring a just absolute joke of a collapse down the stretch, are done. Like Colorado's at 77 points already. They're going to win the division. Minnesota's at 67, and Dallas is at 65. Well, you're probably not catching any of those teams. So that's three spots in your division that are taken up. You're battling right now, if you're the Predators, for the final two wild card spots. So you're in a jumble with, I would say, I don't know, six or seven other teams for those spots right now. Like, I'd probably cut it off. Like, you're at 52 points. LA's at 53. San Jose's at 53. Seattle's at 53. Utah's at 56. And you got, you know, Anaheim at the top of that division, too. There's six teams right there. Below you is Chicago at 49. And really, much past that, I'm cutting it off. Like, Winnipeg ain't getting there this year. Calgary's done. St. Louis, done. Vancouver, definitely done. So there's a whole jumble of teams fighting for two wild card spots right now. So what you have to weigh if you're Barry Trotz is, all right, let's hold it. Let's say you hold it together and you win, you get in. Well, you're playing Colorado or probably Edmonton, you know, or maybe Vegas. But Colorado, Edmonton, or Vegas are going to be one of your opponents there. So how do you feel about beating those teams in a seven-game series? You got Colorado that's on a historic run right now. You got Edmonton, who when the playoff, I know that Edmonton has not really been able to gain a lot of traction this year in terms of, like, they, I guess they keep winning like two in a row and then they'll lose two in a row.
They'll be there.
But it's Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the playoffs, yeah, right? Like, they'll be we've there. Seen what they do. And then the other one is Vegas, and, you know, you beat Vegas once on the road this year. They just beat you the other day 7-2, and they've got Jack Eichel and Shea Theodore and Mark Stone and all these guys. So is it impossible for the Predators to beat one of those teams in the first round? No, it's not impossible. Is it likely? That's what you – like, this is part of Barry Trotz's job to figure out, like, okay, let's say you get all the way through this, you make the playoffs, and you lose in five games to Colorado. Is that worth it? Maybe to him it is. I don't know. I'm just throwing the question out there. Those are the questions that you've got to weigh if you're Barry Trotz.
Well, the people bringing this up, bringing up that anything can happen, could also bring up that the Blackhawks were the number one seed and they were just, people thought they might rip through that playoff too in 2017, and we saw what happened. So as soon as you open that door, then sure, all of a sudden it was a totally different field.
Now, I would also remind people that while that does happen in the NHL playoffs, you know what also happens? You know, people thought the Predators were going to get absolutely killed. I remember, I think it was it Daryl Sutter who said that whoever placed Colorado in the first round the year they won the Stanley Cup, it was going to be a, quote, a waste of 8 days. Well, guess what? The Predators got in there, and I understand UC Saros was hurt for that series.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, if you watched that series, it wouldn't have mattered if UC Saros was playing in that series. They would have got swept.
They hung in game two. Yeah. Game two was a was a really good game.
So that happens. You know, that happens a lot too in the playoffs, where you look at it. And like,
it happens way more.
You know, this team that should win goes out there and just absolutely steamrolls people. Yeah.
The upsets happen all the time, but the massive break between teams, usually, you know, the top seed, you know, that way more often than not, it goes exactly where you think it's going to go. Yeah, I think it just comes down to, like, Predemption sitting here, it's like, as long, you know, I just don't want Barry to buy. I don't see that.
I don't think he's going to buy.
I don't see that happening. It just comes down to, like, do you let these guys keep O'Reilly?
Yeah.
And just see what they can do. Do they earn their way to that? And is that irresponsible to do? To let them keep, because like that's the thing. It's the funny thing about all this is, this is all happening while O'Reilly's playing really well.
He's really good.
While people around the league are like, my God, he's playing at such a high level. How much could that guy help us?
I've thought
so the value goes up, while the likelihood of, you know, keeping the team together goes up.
Yeah, like we've talked about him. I've told everybody for a while, they're going to, if they decide to move on from him and maximize on the value that he's going to bring this trade deadline, they're going to get a heck of a haul for him. Like, it's probably going to be first round pick plus. Like, I'm talking first round pick plus maybe a third round pick plus a pretty high level prospect. Like, that's where the bar kind of starts with him. So if you can get that, like, I think you got to think about it if you're Barry Trotz. And that's, you know, that's without him being on an offensive explosion that he's on right now. I mean, he's a point-a-game player. He's 50 points in 50 games. He's on pace for 82 points this year.
He's having his second good year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, he's going to tell the story, right, of there's going to be heavy, heavy interest in him in the trade deadline. And there's probably going to be some offers that Barry Trotz looks at and says, whew, man, that's a pretty good offer. Do you pull the trigger on it or not? I mean, you know, is it possible that they could hold on to O'Reilly and then kind of nibble around the edges, right? Maybe they trade off Michael Bunting, or they trade off Eric Halla or something like that. Yeah, I mean, you're not getting huge returns for those guys. But, I mean, the story of what Barry Trotz kind of thinks of this is going to be O'Reilly, because this is absolute maximum value right now for Ryan O'Reilly.
I would also argue against moves like that, because it's like, if there's an offer you can't refuse, like, I have to. If you're gonna just make moves like that, then keep together the chemistry you have going that's got you. You know what I mean? That's got you out of this hole. I don't, like, well, nibbling around the edges, to me, if they continue to win, to me is pointless.
Well, the other part of this
comes down to him, man.
It comes down to him. But the other part of this is also, I mean, those guys I just mentioned on the expiring contracts. You mean, O'Reilly's not on an expiring contract. He's got another year after this, which, right, by the way, increases the value there. But you have him, Halla, who's on an expiring deal, McCarron, who's on an expiring deal. And I know some people would be like, well, it's Michael McCarron. Like, how much value is he going to get? I'm telling you, there will be heavy interest in Michael McCarron come trade deadline time, because he's huge and because he's really good at penalty killing and because he's really good in the faceoff circle. And there will be some teams out there that absolutely want that. And I'm telling you, if they decide to trade him, you're going to look at the return. You're going to be like, wait a minute, Predators got a second round pick for Michael McCarron. I'm just telling you right now. So you need to go ahead and prepare yourself for that. But as you know, I've talked to some people kind of around the league about this. If you start trading all these people, like, somebody's got to play center, right? Like, somebody, like, you got to close out the year. Somebody's got to be playing center for the Nashville Predators too.
Which, again, wouldn't be that, you know, if it was going still the way it was going, then it's like, great, okay, it's the Milwaukee Preds, and sure, like, get some young kid, whatever, you know. But it's not that. To their credit, it's not that.
Yeah.
Now, it's really interesting. And, you know, like, I mean, Dustin from Hopkinsville's like, I just started watching them again. If they sell, I'm back out, you know. And it's like, I mean, there's some fans, I get it. Like, it's fun to watch your team play well and win games like last night's game.
Yeah.
I get it.
No, it's, look, after last year, and the way that this year started, it was like, man, they are wandering through the wilderness right now, and it's going to get bad. You know, I still think long-term, you look at the outlook right now, and you're like, all right, well, if they do move on from O'Reilly, when's the next time they're going to have a, you know, decently high-level center, right? You know, is Stamkos at age 35, is he going to be able to play like this for two more years after this? What are they going to do with Jonathan Marchessault, which I think is still a big question in all this. So by no means do I think that they've just absolutely figured everything out moving forward here, but they've made it interesting to their credit. So I think some real decisions coming up for Barry Trotz. I'm interested to see how he handles it. So see how it goes.
Yes. They're very intriguing. This season has gotten way more interesting.
Yes.
Than it was.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Preds a little bit later in the show. The Titans have made it official. There's some interesting photos coming out and some interesting statements from Borgonzi and others on the Robert Saleh front. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
Ian, did you get that picture, man?
I sure did.
Paul, I don't know if Carsey's doing any work on the Titans or whatever, you know, but he is sending, he finally got us a picture of the Jacksonville bathroom.
That urinal's about a foot and a half away from the sink. No divider.
Like, I wish we could share this. I mean, I guess I could, like, put here, if you're watching on the show, I'm gonna show this picture to you. That Karski randomly sent me late last night. Now, just look at this. Is this showing on the screen? Is this you guys seeing
Not
this?
Really, no.
No? Do I need to go back?
Just hold
forward?
It straight up to it.
Look closer? Is that working?
It's a little whitewashed.
Okay, wait. I'm
great really. Radio.
All right, this is really good radio.
Yeah, I'll try maybe. Maybe I'll post it on social.
There you go.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, we can post it on. Yeah, that's not a good job. Now I'm watching myself do it. It's very bad. So, yeah, like we've talked about it before, it's the press box bathroom, men's room in Jacksonville at Milky Pool Stadium. And seriously, like the urinal, there's a divider between urinals, but the urinal and the sink are like inches apart with no divider. Like there's splatter going both ways. I've been on both sides of that equation. Both of them are terrible.
I don't understand how somebody didn't look at that. It's like, you know what? We've got this partition between the urinals over here. We've got a sink and a urinal that are approximately 11 inches away from each other. Maybe we ought to put another partition in here. I don't know.
Yeah. You'd think they would have done that.
Space out the urinal a little bit.
I've also, like, probably three out of – I don't know how many times I've been there, but whatever. Like, three out of four times, you like, leaks happen too. Like, when you're sitting there, like, all of a sudden leaks come out of the ceiling. It's quite a place.
Sounds like a great place.
No, it's really great.
I'm sure that pool is very hygienic down there too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Chlorine?
Oh, man.
But, hey, they won football games this year.
Yeah.
So give them credit for that.
They did.
Unlike the Tennessee Titans.
Keep their head up. Keep your head up down there, Liam. It's gonna be okay.
Don't be afraid, Liam.
The Tennessee
Robert Saleh's
Titans
coming for you.
Have made it official. Robert Saleh is the next head coach of the Titans. So that would have been pretty awkward if he, I guess, wasn't the head coach of the Titans after we've been talking about it for a few days. But the cool picture yesterday, Joe, of Borgonzi and Saleh embracing. Nice little handshake, still shot of the photo that's gone on there. Borgonzi put his statement out there about how excited he is to get to work with Robert Saleh. Says, quote, "On behalf of the entire Titans organization and the Nashville community, I'm thrilled to welcome Robert Saleh as our head coach. Robert embodies the fundamental values of what we believe a Titan should look like and represent. He's smart, tough, dependable, and values working with people. His innate ability to lead and respond to adversity is what makes him the right person to lead our football program back to whose identity embodies sustainable success. We understand the urgency to win and believe this is a step in the direction, in that direction with a coach that is best equipped to accomplish our goals. The work has just begun, but I'm grateful for this partnership and excited to build it together." That was a statement from Mike Borgonzi on Robert Saleh.
Well, that's good they put statements out because it'll be a while before Robert Saleh. Of course.
And he put a statement out too.
He put a statement out too. Are you going to read that? Go.
And you want me to read Amy's statement?
Yes.
I wonder, did this come from the facility or the foxhole? I don't know.
Is it a foxhole when you're hunting foxes?
I don't know.
That's in war.
It's in war. I don't know. I would assume the term came from somewhere. I have no idea.
I guess, are they? Is that where foxes hide? Is that why they called a foxhole?
I don't know. You have to ask Amy. I have no idea.
Wow. My mind is blown.
I mean, you know, do I need to read Amy's entire statement?
Yes.
We're delighted to welcome Robert and his family to the Titans and firmly believe he's the right person for our team and community. We immediately connected with his competitive spirit and detailed approach to developing our players and team. Also, Robert's recommendations from across the league were overwhelmingly positive and were only reinforced during our time together. I want to thank Mike Borgonzi for his leadership during this process and acknowledge the work they've done by the search committee. They dedicated so much time, effort, and I'm thrilled with the results. And most importantly, I believe Titans fans will be too. Congratulations to Robert and his family, and welcome to Nashville.
I didn't know you were doing it all in your Amy
that's
voice.
Last time I read something from Amy Adams Strunk and I didn't do it in the Amy voice, people got really mad.
People got mad.
On the text line.
Oh. Well, yes, those statements are all fine. I just have so many questions about this picture, okay? Like, the Borgonzi Sala. First of all, it does remind me of, like, when they hired Vrabel, and like, but they had a video. They put out a video back then, and it was Vrabel coming off the plane, and J-Rod, yeah, you know. Like the bro hug between Vrabel and J-Rob,
yep.
Which, of course, at that time was they beat the Chiefs, Malarkey's all, you know, and people got mad at me because the first question after they beat the Chiefs was, you think you're going to get fired from me? And he was like, well, it'd be great if anybody supported me around here. Woo. But anyway, then the Titans social media was like, that is our coach, you know, all over the place. And then they fire him 2 days later. It's like, new era, let's go. It's like, okay. But this is just a picture of Borgonzi Sala starting a bro hug.
I look.
Sala with a very nice suit. Borgonzi looking like he, I mean, he's got like.
I just got out of the gym.
I cannot be bothered to put a suit on. You know, he's got his baseball hat and his hoodie on. Looks like me doing this show. So, I mean, I guess it's not like he needed to dress up. It's just look, interesting, you know. There's no dress code over there.
I'm kind of proud of the Titans. I mean, you know,
they didn't do the video. Yeah. Like,
the last couple hires they've made, you know, there's been the video of them walking into the facility and, you know, like the entire organization is just waiting there, standing and applauding. And, look, it's not like the Titans are the only team that's done that because I've seen some other teams do that
too. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I think it's a trend in sports that probably needs to stop. So
it does, badly.
I'm glad the Titans didn't do that, or at least they didn't put that out.
I agree with you, but the thing is, then when you just have a still shot, you can like go down the rabbit hole, or the foxhole,
yeah.
Of like just like because it really does. First of all, as people have pointed out, you know, I already made the My Bodyguard reference. Like Sala actually looks like the bully in My Bodyguard,
yeah,
and he like Borgonzi looks like his, like maybe like his little brother or something. You know what I mean? It's like his little nephew here. Hey, it's, you know, again, I mean, I'm with you. It's probably better than doing the whole video thing. And please don't do the thing in the office. Please, please. I beg of you, Titans. Like I'll accept the daily calls I get about the new stadium and getting tickets because I know that I've been doxxed by them. I'll accept that if you, fine. I'll even start answering them and talking to your representative if you don't do the everybody clapping in the office.
What do we think Kuharski's first question to Sala is going to be? How long will it take Sala to be like, oh, man, I don't know about this guy.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, Sala might be, oh, there's only one of these. I had like 40 of them up in New York. I don't know. This that's is, a good question.
This is nothing down here.
See, the thing about Kuharski is when it's the honeymoon period, I mean, yeah, his questions are normally like, they're fine. Yeah. It's not like he's like confident. It's just after a loss or something. If something starts to go bad, then you start getting into, what are you doing? And then the fun will begin.
Was that good to great, Mike?
Exactly.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Some names thrown out there yesterday in relation to the Tennessee Titans and the offensive coordinator position. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, some news in the NFL part of this. Fernando Mendoza has declared for the NFL draft. Diana Rossini, among others, putting it out there.
Okay. But,
Fernando Mendoza going to the NFL draft. Not very surprising.
No. Mark Davis was ready to give him his signing bonus from the sideline the other night. So it's probably a good thing.
He probably is.
Good luck with the Raiders, son.
Probably is. Congratulations to Fernando, the number one pick in the draft coming up.
Fernando, I know you're not used to losing. You need to get used to losing
it's
again.
It's time for you to potentially get used to that. See how it goes. Tom Pelissero put this out there yesterday, Joe. Some names
of interest through offensive coordinator options for the Titans. Now, we know about Brian Daboll, right? Diana Russini put it out the other day that if Brian Daboll is not the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, then he is expected to become the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. This is what Tom Pelissero said yesterday. The Titans continue to work through offensive coordinator options with Cliff Kingsbury, Arthur Smith, Brian Daboll, Adam Stinovich, and Bobby Slowick among the potential options, per sources. All have OC experience as Robert Saleh looks for the right man to work with quarterback Cam Ward. So, again, you know, Daboll completed his interview with the Bills yesterday for the head coaching spot. Bills have some more work to do on that front. I think they're interviewing Mike McDaniel today. So we'll see what decision they end up coming to on the head coaching front. In the meantime, you know, if you're the Titans and you're sorting through the options here, let's say Daboll becomes head coach of the Bills. What do you do at offensive coordinator at that point? What do you make of those names that Pelissero threw out there? Kingsbury, Arthur Smith, Daboll, Stinovich, and Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, I mean, they all make sense. I think we've talked about all of them at different times. So those are all sensible possibilities. Again, you get into, does consistency of scheme matter? You know, I mean, I don't think it should be top of the list. But, again, it's interesting to me to think about, like I talked about yesterday, different offense. You know, if you go to a Daboll, as opposed to this offense that you've been connected with for basically your whole career in the NFL. So, and most of those guys are on the side of his background of offense. Slowick's really interesting to me just because it feels like people have now come around to, okay, well, maybe Bobby didn't screw everything up. I mean, I saw CJ Stroud the other day was saying his defense is so good that that's somehow like part of why he's struggling. I'm like, oh, maybe fire the defensive coordinator then too.
Interesting.
No, it's their fault. You're too good. So it seems like Slowick, the public sentiment on him isn't, again, public sentiment is one thing, and you know what's the real deal with him. I mean, obviously, he was the toast. I mean, the guy would be a head coach somewhere now. Or maybe he would have been fired as a head coach by now somewhere. But it would be a hit. You know, would have gotten a head coaching job if he wanted one. If after the 23 season, he could have gone out in there and got one of those. He could have been like Callahan during that cycle, right? He's interesting. But, you know, the Daboll thing, again, like Diana reported that, to me, that suggests that like he's the clear top choice.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that would be what that suggests to me. I mean, of these names, Kingsbury, Smith, Daboll, Stinovich, and Slowick, only one of them hasn't called plays, right? So Stinovich is the one in that mix that has not called plays. Now, you know, Pelissero doesn't say here that this is where the list is limited. He said among the potential options. So it's not like it's like, well, it's these five guys, but it is meaningful to me that he named those five.
Yeah, right? These are the names he's getting.
Those are the names he got. Of those five names, only one of them has not called plays. It is interesting, though, like I think when you look at the backgrounds of these coordinators, like Kingsbury and Arthur Smith are pretty different, right? You know, Bobby Slowick comes from a system that Robert Saleh is obviously very familiar with. But Daboll, we talked about that yesterday. Like, there's not really they don't run the same offense. It's not the history of Saleh's offensive involvement there, which, again, it just because Robert Saleh has not been a part of a coaching staff that's run an offensive system that Cliff Kingsbury ran or an offensive system that Brian Daboll ran or whatever, doesn't mean you can't hire him
right
at that point. But it is interesting, I guess, the variety of those five names right there in terms of their background in the NFL.
Yeah, so again, we heard, so apparently Zach Rosenblatt is the one who went on DVD and talked about the personal relationship of Daboll, Saleh. I still am stunned that I can't on the internet find like things written about this. It's like actually kind of shocking. But apparently some sort of connection, and it made sense. I mean, they were apparently lived in the same neighborhood, and they were both, of course, you know, going to that bleep hole in New Jersey on a daily basis, and so they have some you know, I guess shared connection there. So, and then you get into, okay, so you're waiting? Yeah. Like, how serious is Buffalo thing? Is he good enough? Is it important enough to wait for him? And I do wonder, you know, with Daboll, I wonder about guy who has been a head coach now, you know, stepping back to OC with the personality we've seen from him at times. You know, he's, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a fiery coach and stuff like that, but like he's had serious stuff like with his own coaches when he's with the Giants. It's like, man, that's, you know, you're bringing in kind of a fireball if you do that.
Yeah. And, you know, Arthur Smith is interesting, right? Like, obviously he's had success here before as an offensive coordinator. Now, since then, what's it been like, right? He's gone to Atlanta to be the head coach. We know how that went. You know, Pittsburgh as OC, he's okay, right? I mean, you had Rodgers at age 42. You had DK Metcalf that was okay in Pittsburgh this year, and then obviously at the end of the year he gets suspended, so that's not good.
They looked real bad on offense when they didn't have him.
Well, they had, you know, a bunch of just a bunch of guys out there, right? Like, you know, not homegrown star players. Like, they, you know, picked up Kenneth Gainwell out there, and he was a good story for Pittsburgh this year. But it's not like they were loaded with offensive talent.
Help me get the title game fantasy.
That's good. It's good.
Thanks, Gainwell.
And it's good. But it's not like they're loaded out there in terms of the quality of players that they have. So, like, how is Arthur Smith viewed right now? Obviously, I mean, people naturally make the connection here because there's familiarity. I would assume that Robert Saleh is not interested in Arthur Smith just because he's been here before. Yeah. I would assume that there's legitimate interest in his skill set as an OC.
Yeah, that'd be – it just, like, who cares? I mean, really. Oh, wow, Arthur knows. When Brinker is going to set the timer to put the sprinklers on. I mean, actually, that's wrong because Arthur and Brinker weren't here together. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's just about his competence as an OC. And I will say, for his time in Pittsburgh, I think Justin Fields probably looked as much like an NFL quarterback as he has looked under Arthur Smith for that 1 year, right? I mean,
sure.
He had some good moments. I mean, they – you know, given the situations, I think he's done pretty well. It's just, and you know, the whole thing with Atlanta is like, why didn't like their key playmakers get the ball more and all that stuff? But I also think that's a quarterback thing. I don't think it would be bad to hire him. You know, again, it's like, I guess how much does it matter to have any sort of pre-existing relationship? People hate the buddy hire thing, but I also think that there's value in, like, having trust and being able to, okay, let's go. Let's hit the ground running instead of let's get to know each other and stuff. Okay, let's go around the circle. My name's Art. I'm a billionaire, yet I'm still coaching football.
Of those five,
hi, Art.
Of those five names, which one excites Titans fans the most? Which one makes Titans fans the most mad, do you think? I know I have a pretty good idea about which one makes them the most mad. It would be Stanovich. For no other reason than he's never called plays.
Yeah. I think some people would also just not be excited about Kingsbury. I think Kingsbury, I don't think that would be a bad hire. But Kingsbury rubs people the wrong way, like you, for example. So I think the most excited, I guess, would be Daboll. Is that right? I guess it's like, you know, you could have a chance to get a head coach who does get a lot of credit for Josh Allen. I mean, like, he does get a lot of credit, and he must deserve a good chunk of credit, right?
You would think.
That's probably number one, right? I think so. But again, to me, McDaniel would have been the...
Yeah.
So he's out there. He's not committed to Harbaugh, you're telling me?
The reporting is he's interviewing for the Bills job today. So I don't think he signed the deal to be the offensive coordinator. I think the understanding is if he doesn't land a head coaching job that he wants, that he's going to go be the offensive coordinator for the Chargers.
So Harbaugh, Jim, not John, might get... He just got his... D coordinator Jesse Minter ripped from him. I mean,
isn't that weird from Baltimore? Sign Minter with such connections to the Harbaughs like that.
Well, it's like they're trying to screw over the Harbaughs where they like fire John and go rip the D coordinator out of Jim's hands. And then what if Jim also doesn't get McDaniel? My goodness. Tough week for the Harbaughs, I guess, other than the one who got the Giants job.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think they're going to be all right.
Yeah, they'll be okay. Jesse Minter, by the way, like, I swear it was like 3 years ago. That, like, that was at Vandy's signing day, and he was sitting in there. Hey, man, so great. Oh, so awesome. You just signed. That's great, man.
Now
like, you're the Ravens head coach.
Kind of amazing.
Wild.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Chad in Hendersonville to the program. Chad, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. wanted to talk a little. I see Brian Callahan's close to becoming the potential offense coordinator of the Buccaneers. Not sure what the story is there here, but I want to suggest this, and I'm curious real quick what y'all's thought is. You know, I was at a middle school game the other day, high school game, then the Predators game. Is there ever going to be a time? Now, I love America, so let's don't jump to any conclusions here. Is there ever going to be a time where we're going to maybe get some variety with the national anthem? Like, can we get Vince Gill or somebody maybe to rewrite one, and we can maybe mix it in, maybe, you know, God bless, you know, the America sportsman, something.
You want to rewrite the national anthem?
No. God, no. But I'm talking about we keep the national anthem, but is there ever going to be, are we going to do this 100 years from now? Or is there going to be a time where we could maybe mix another, could we have like a national anthem 2? Can we go like the A version? Or is there ever going to be a B version? Or are we just going to do this, just wash, rinse, repeat for the rest of our life? Not saying, you know, not being anti-anything here. I'm just saying, is this what we're stuck with until the end of time? Your thoughts.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. Joe, I mean.
I said we weave in a little Baby Got Back as anthem 2. We can rotate.
I mean.
I don't know what to say. I don't know, man. I got too many issues to get there, man.
I don't know. I did not think that was going to go that way.
I know.
Me either.
He's like, I love America and all, but
me either.
Interesting.
I mean, is he just not a huge fan of Francis Scott Key and the lyrics?
I will say I think that there's a case to be made. Like, do you have to play the anthem before every single game? Ever?
Well, I have wondered this before, and again. I guess I need to clarify with Chad, too. I also love America, so it's a good point.
Yeah, yes.
I have wondered before. Like, I was sitting there one time at a Predators game. I was like, why is it that, like, in no other walk of life we do this? Like, it's always just before a Predators or a sporting event that we're like, yep, national anthem, baby. Let's go.
But, like, at least college and programs, like, you have band will do it or it'll be, like, a really good artist. But, like, it's like you go to, like a JV basketball game.
But what I'm saying is, like,
you're just playing it out of the, you know, the loud. It's like, yeah, probably.
But I guess
right, just play the game.
What I'm saying is, like, you know, we don't do it walking into work. We don't do it in, like, the grocery store. It's like the sporting event. That's where we do the national anthem.
We do it before our show.
We do.
Some beautiful renditions.
Yes, people are very, very happy with most of them.
Yeah.
A couple in particular, maybe not. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will continue the conversation on the Tennessee Titans. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the offensive coordinator front. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.